Thank you for listening to the Hub Show podcast. Brought to you by Venue Media.
Trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hey, your Hub Show.
Podcasting and broadcasting about everything and nothing. From the center of the universe, the Hub City, and covering Baltimore, New York, D.C., Philly, Pittsburgh, and all points in between. It's Hub City's own, The Hub Show. And now, here are your hosts, Jay Lewis, Chris Canfield, and Joe Heisch.
The Hub Show, Hawk Har, Red Grave, Jay Heisch, Chris Canfield, Shay Lewis is
hello.
In the house.
Hey.
Hey, want to give a quick shout out to the Small Town Mentality Podcast guys out in Wyoming, to all our podcast brothers and sisters around the world, to everyone out there doing the podcast and trying to make it happen, make it work. You can do it. We're trying to do it. It's a struggle.
It's already been done.
It's been done, but you know, here we are.
Well, if they're doing it, they can do it.
Do it.
That's the definition of doing it.
I think
just
so.
Do it.
Doing it is what you. That's how you do things.
Doing it well.
Do it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. You get things done when you do things.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why Nike stole that line.
That's just right. Do it.
Right. Yeah, they stole it from us.
Yeah.
All right. I want my reparations.
In the studio, returning after a long hiatus, is Miss Jen Silber. How are you, Jen? How's it going?
I'm good. How are you,
oh, she's
Jay?
Doing the voice. I'm doing fine.
Doing the voice.
Yeah, she's doing the voice.
I'm going to practice with different voices, see which one sounds better.
Can you? Who's the real Jen Silver?
Hello.
There you
Hello.
Go. Hey, last time, Jen, you were on here right before the Super Bowl. You brought on, and a year ago as well, you brought in the aromatherapy, what Chris calls your smellums.
They are the smellums, the good stuff.
Yeah. Can we talk about love then?
Yes, we did.
Love potions.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes, we did. Oh, yes, we did. Mm-hmm. We was talking about some love potions that can help Chris land a girl.
Apparently, I didn't learn a damn thing.
Here we are a year later.
In the bachelor pad.
Yeah. At the Emerald Studio.
Yeah.
Emerald Studio.
Click your heels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Oh, but now you've not moved on. You're still doing the aromatherapy.
I love it.
However, you branched out to... sleep therapy, yeah?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, you never know where your own experiences are going to take you.
Right.
And I love sleep. I wasn't getting it.
You figured out a way to get it, right?
I dreamt about it when I did sleep. So I started to look into it a little bit more because I was so fascinated with this sleep that kept escaping me. So I discovered that there was a certification for a sleep coach that I could do, and it would allow me to be able to help people better. Because, you know, sometimes people just need a little bit of that credibility behind you. Mm-hmm. You know, like I can tell you all I know and what I know works to help you get to sleep. But when you add a little bit of credentials to that, I think people wake up and listen to us. So I am a certified sleep science coach.
Huh.
Whoa.
That's, I didn't even know there was
congratulations.
I know.
I didn't even know there was an industry behind that.
I didn't either. However, if you look online, if you Google online for a sleep coach, you're going to find a lot of coaches that work with new moms and newborn babies.
Oh, wow.
Okay, because those moms need some sleep.
Yes, yeah, thank sure. you.
And they need to sleep at random times of the day.
They need to know how to be flexible with
right.
sleep.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
you
get and sleep
in where
anywhere.
You fit in, right. Sleep anywhere in any position.
You know,
right?
What I was taught when I was a new mom is my grandmother and my mom told me you need to sleep when the baby's sleeping because, that's the only time you're going to get some sleep. And then when the baby's up, you do the things that you need to do and then put them in their little play area, whatever, so you could go ahead and do the cleaning in and everything like that. But some people think that you need to be up and while the baby's asleep, you need to do all the handy work. And that's the wrong thing, the wrong mentality, because I've seen a lot of new mothers, they crash and burn.
Right.
They have, you know, postpartum really bad because, like, I never get any sleep and
right.
The baby's taking everything away from me. And yeah, so that's good that you have in those.
And then what happens to you after that goes on for a long time?
Oh, you get sleep deprived and you lose a lot.
Well, eventually your body just gives up.
Yeah.
And you're gonna fall, right?
Right.
Your body's gonna force you to go to sleep
crash
at some point.
And burn. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it was amazing to learn that you can actually go longer without food. and survive than you could without sleep.
Really?
You literally need sleep to live. Don't get it, and it all will come crashing down in some form or another. Usually it's, emotional issues.
Very irritable.
Very mm-hmm. irritable and cranky, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I learned was there's a real strong connection to sleep and mental health, which
yes, it
starts
is.
Off, right? But I met this amazing, oh my goodness, I don't know how many degrees he had. He actually helped the royal family. He's
oh, really?
from United Kingdom, but there's an institute there that is world renowned for sleep, Circadian Rhythm Institute, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And so this expert came and talked to us at a convention I was at, and he was making the case for this connection between sleep and mental health, saying that the neural pathways in your brain run parallel to each other. So if you can improve one, you can improve the other.
Oh, wow.
And then I just started meeting more and more people that were struggling with things like anxiety and depression. And when that clicked and I realized that if we can help people get to sleep, we might be able to make a dent in this epidemic of mental health,
right.
you know, crises mm-hmm. that we're facing
sure.
as a nation. So that's kind of what got me started on that. Not to mention the fact that I went through my insomniac period and mm-hmm. I like value sleep now more than ever.
Right.
You know,
right.
I love me some sleep.
Right.
So if you don't mind, I actually was going to take a few minutes and test your sleep knowledge before we go further. You
oh,
guys
ooh,
ready
yes.
for this?
I'm up
Bring
for it.
On.
Okay.
Bring
so
it
I,
on.
I brought some props.
I love
okay.
I love a good test.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
so
really
I,
good at these.
Okay.
Podcast props.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how good you are, Chris.
Think okay. you're so smart.
Because I don't know about sleep.
I know.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Okay.
You know, you get it when you have to.
You get it when you have to. Okay. Well, let's just see. So maybe I'll start with an easy one, and then we'll get a little bit tougher.
Okay.
Let's just see how you do this one.
You can take
okay.
it.
So question number one,
mm-hmm.
peoples. Exercising before bed helps prepare your body for sleep. True or false?
True.
True. No false. No false.
You saw that look in my eye.
No,
like maybe
I
that was
about, you know, I thought about it because I was working out before I went to bed.
She tricked you.
And then, and the thing about it is when I worked out before I went to bed, I was riled up. Like, you know, I was like, I couldn't, it was harder for me to go to sleep. So what I started doing was when I get up, I work out. I had to think about that because a lot of people do think that.
I used to do it. I used to work out before I went to sleep. When I work out, I mean,
when you work
you
out,
know,
right.
yeah, I go through my little health phases. You know, I'll go on like a 6 month run where I'll start working out and stuff, and then I always work out like right before I go to bed. But then after I work out, I get in the sauna and then I take a shower, and then you know, and then mm-hmm. then I go to bed. So I have that downtime before you
have
go there.
A ritual,
but you feel. You know, you feel healthier when you lay down.
Who's right and who's wrong? I say it's true. It's false?
It's false?
Yes.
It's a bad idea?
It's false. It's a bad idea. If you are going to exercise later in the day, it's
uh-huh.
recommended no earlier than 4 hours
before you go to bed
because of the very reason you just said. You're increasing. The big thing is you're increasing your body temperature, and the closer to bed you get, the cooler you want your body temperature to be. So after that exercise, you just raise your body temperature, and that is going to end up overstimulating you.
You know what? You need to talk to some of my ex-girlfriends.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not going
to. That is the worst. That's the worst combination. When
no
you're
worry,
like,
Chris, they're listening.
When
they
you're,
when,
I know they might
when
be.
You're in a relationship with a hot sleeper
mm-hmm.
and you're a cold sleeper, it's the worst situation
it
ever
is.
In a relationship.
Wait, define that. Hot sleeper and cold sleeper.
I dated this girl one time. She had she would have her heat on in her house turned up to 80 degrees
Yeesh.
All the time.
Okay.
And she would go to bed like that, just sleeping. And I would just be laying in bed just sweating. And now that I'm living by myself, it's... What, 30 degrees outside? I'll open up the window to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I sleep with the window
nice
open
and cold.
Snow when it's snowing outside.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't add that question in, but
this is possessed.
Really, and when I talk to people about sleep, and I talk about the different areas that I would have them focus on, you know, for solutions, be their head, their heart, their gut, and their environment. I kind of break it down on those four things, but environment, that's one of them, is the temperature you got in your room. And the ideal temperature is somewhere around 65 to 72 degrees mm-hmm. to be able to get that good sleep.
Yeah, because I can't sleep when it's too hot.
Nah.
I can't sleep with socks on. It makes my body hot.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Well, some people do.
I know.
In the winter, horrible. Especially.
It's horrible.
I keep your feet warm.
Yeah, but I sleep. I have to sleep. You have a cool breeze.
It's another pet peeve.
Right.
So sleeping with socks on. But this topic is subjective to each person, right? Some like to sleep when it's hot. Some, like most, I don't. I want it to be cool in the room and all that.
Well, I'll tell you what. The key to good sleep is if you are able to wake up and to be able to sustain yourself for an entire day without relying on artificial energy.
Right.
And you don't need a nap and you feel refreshed and on point all day, that's a good sign that you got a good night's sleep. So if that's how you live, then something you're doing is working for you.
I've never heard the term artificial energy. That is interesting.
Yeah.
That's like coffee and energy drinks and stuff like that.
Yeah, because we all know how much we all rely on that stuff. Oh, man, I work with so many people. And
I can't start the day without coffee.
I can't start the day without coffee. Yeah, what does that say?
That's a drug for a lot of people. Well, they think it is. You know what I mean? They have to have their coffee.
Listen, I got to tell you, I could just go on about how passionate I am about this because the truth is there's so many things you can do for yourself that are free, don't cost anything. They're just habits. And somehow we just get caught up in this cycle of thinking, I got to have me some coffee.
Right.
Okay. And then
we're
I got to have.
Creatures of routine.
It's true.
Right.
Yeah. Or then what happens at night? What do I got here? Right.
Chardonnay.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
So you start off with the coffee and that's the cycle I was on. I wake up. I do the coffee. I'm all wound up. Sure. By the time evening comes along, I got to settle down.
Got to knock yourself out.
Myself out. I pull out my bottle of wine.
Hey.
Okay, so that would be another question, too. So alcohol is a good way to calm your body before you go to sleep. True or false?
Mm.
I know the answer is false, but I say true anyway. Fight the power here. Right.
Normally, alcohol is a depressant, so it will calm you down and it relaxes you. I would say true.
I guess it depends on how much you're drinking. If you're passing out.
Is it okay? You're going to go night.
Well, so what happens to you? What happens to you guys? And I don't want to put you in the hot seat, but you have something to drink before you go to bed. Maybe you got a party that night. Maybe
I go to sleep.
A couple glasses of wine. You go to sleep. Do you wake up at all during the night after that?
No. I'm out.
Unless I got to pee. But no.
Okay. Well, there's one good point. Well, see, what's going to happen is when you're having some alcohol before bed, though, eventually it's going to affect your blood sugar.
Okay. Well, that's
so
true.
Then your blood sugar rises. So what happens is it knocks you out so that you can go to sleep right away. And then it might be 4 or 5 hours later. You wake up. It happened to me religiously all the time. It took me years to figure out that's what was going on. So it raises your blood sugar and then you're up. And then you may or may not be able to go back to sleep. And that's
and it gives you a lot of empty calories you don't
need. Let's just look at it that way.
And if you don't wake up in the middle of the night, at least you're coming out of REM. Right? You're coming out of your deep sleep. So.
Yeah, you're coming out. And that's not good. So there we go.
Now we're getting deep.
We're getting deep. So let me go into that next one. You're right. So REM. Okay,
R-E-M.
So there are 4 stages of sleep. One of them is REM sleep.
Right.
True or false?
True.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. True. There are 4 stages of sleep. And it takes you 90 minutes to cycle through all those 4 stages of sleep. And your body's doing all kinds of cool things in each of those stages.
Mm.
It's actually the only time you produce growth hormones is while you sleep. And so think of kids that are sleep deprived today.
They're not growing.
They're not growing. Okay. Now I don't really care about my growth hormones anymore, but
as long as I grow, get a little taller. I take it.
So Adderall is making people shorter. Is that what you're saying?
Well, when I went to the doctors when I was younger, I think I was like a sleep deprived child. They said, you know, you won't grow if you don't get enough sleep. Because I was a night owl. You know, I like to stay up all night and sleep during the day. And, you know, and nocturnal. I didn't sleep very long in the daytime. So I had to condition my body because the doctor told me that I won't grow. You know, I will stunt my growth by not, you know, you're not growing if you're not sleeping.
It explains and a lot.
It's true.
Yeah. So I have to, so I did, you know, told my kids that, hey, you won't grow if you sleep, if you don't go to sleep. So they
it's true. It's the only time your body. So another group of people that that's important to would be, athletes. So not necessarily the growth hormones, but the muscle repair that happens
while
you're sleeping.
While you're sleeping,
you know,
right.
So if you're an athlete or you're working out a lot, the only time your body's got to really repair itself is while you're sleeping.
Yes.
Okay.
Especially
and it
if
ain't
you do a lot
happen.
Of workouts. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna happen in stage one or stage two. You got to really hang in there
sleep.
And get that. So if you're waking up and you can't remember your dreams, you're not getting to REM sleep.
Is that
because
what that
means? You get
that,
good,
yeah,
you get good
mean?
Sleep, you should be able to recall your dreams,
yeah,
and that's a whole nother.
I understand that no matter what, you do dream, but there's lots of mornings I wake up, I can't think of
I can't
crazy think of the
dreams.
Movie I just saw in my head. You know,
I can't sometimes.
Sometimes I can't.
It's foggy. It's foggy.
I can totally recall details of
every
dreams.
Morning.
Okay.
Not every,
but every
morning.
That's what I mean. Every
I don't dream every night. But when I do,
but
I can wake up and like remember.
But
exactly
you do
what
dream
happened.
Every night. Chris is the point.
I do.
Yeah.
You?
So here's the
yes.
thing, and if you here's one of the recommendations is you if you want to see whether or not you're dreaming, because your dreams do tell stories. And
no
I won't even get into that because that's
good
a whole nother story. Yeah, good and bad. There's a lot your subconscious is. And you know what? During your dreams, you work out problems of the day. You need to dream because that's the way your brain's working out issues. Yeah, dreams are really important. So the recommendation is that if you're curious about whether or not you're dreaming, take a notebook and keep it under your pillow.
Yep, I've done this before.
Take notes while you're sleeping.
All right,
I have a dream journal. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh?
Chris had a dream journal?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to read that.
Good
Lord.
Well, we were talking about it before we started, Jay, but the, you know, with the Tim Ferriss thing and all the body testing and everything, there was a, think of the little thing in there about keeping a dream journal, and it's supposed to harden the connection between your short-term and long-term memory.
So what do you mean?
So like if you wake up in the middle of the night, you jot down exactly what you dreamed, and then you can go back to sleep, and when you wake up in the morning, you go back and read it and recall it, and then that hardens the line between your short-term and long-term memory.
Jen just broke out her dream journal.
My dream journal. I had – let me share with you one really amazing dream. Can I do that really quick?
By all
means. I don't know how much time you have here, but
– share your dreams, Jen.
Okay, so I usually tend to dream in fragments. I don't know about you guys, but it feels like I hop around from one place to another.
Me too.
Yeah, and it's like
– it'll be like cut scene, and now you're in some other place.
Oh, my God. I had a dream a couple months ago. It is. And then my husband will tell me about these dreams, and they have a start and they have an end. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you end up dreaming this whole story? He'll go on and on with all these details. I'm like, I remember I was in this place and then I hopped over to this place and none of this is making sense.
Right.
But there was an incident that happened to me a couple months ago where I felt marginalized.
Okay.
I was in a community of people and it had gone on for a while. And I know that it was bothering me, but I felt like my conscious brain had been working that out, going, hey, it's no big deal. You're better than that. You're bigger than that. Just let it go. But apparently my subconscious was really processing this. So I have this dream one night and I'm out walking along this river and suddenly I see this bear come charging at me. Okay, that's not a good sign.
No, that's a bad dream.
Right, right. But what I found out is that if you have any wild animals in your dream in general, you need to be looking into that because it's trying to send you a message. But a bear of all things. Now, if you see a bear and it's sleeping, that's going to have a different meaning than if a bear comes charging at you aggressively.
Well, right.
So this bear comes charging at me and I lay down to pretend I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
Good thinking.
Well, yeah.
And then the bear
gets
on top of me in a like
oh good Lord,
yeah, no, it's laying on top of me and I'm pretending I'm dead, and while it's on, you know, it's like I can feel all this weight and I can feel breathing, I can feel the teeth kind of like going by my head. I've never had anything like this before.
Wow.
And I hear people walking by and talking and that no one's stopping to help me. Get back
and you
here.
woke up and you were in a train station.
Yeah.
Right.
Why?
On a park bench.
And a park bench. It was getting good sleep, apparently.
Yeah, deep sleep.
And there was a dog licking your neck.
What? You had the same dream, huh?
Interesting.
So, but the people are walking by me and no one is helping me. And finally, there's this couple that stops and I hear them talking. And the next thing you know, they're airlifting the both of us into some kind of plane and taking us away. And then the bear disappears and it turns into a person. And anyways, there's a few more details, but I wake up and it was so frightening. I was shaking when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I've had that too.
And I'm going.
So you woke up right when the bear became a person?
The bear became a person. It's kinda freaky, and it is freaky. And there's a few more details, but okay, I started looking that up and what that all means.
Okay.
And it is, not a good sign if a bear comes chasing at you. It means that your subconscious is struggling with a problem you have not overcome. But my point is that was my way of working out an issue that I'm feeling in real life. Now, there's all kinds of other meanings behind,
sure, right,
you know, earthly things that keep showing up in your dreams. If you keep getting water in your dreams or fire in
your
dreams.
How about flying? I fly in a lot of my dreams.
That's good. That's a good sign.
That's a good thing?
I don't like Superman, like just take off into the sky, but I can like levitate and like hover over.
I told you he's possessed.
Yeah, that's
he's got the windows open when he sleeps.
Right.
That's not a bad thing if you're dreaming about flying. Now, if you're dreaming of flying and crashing, that's another story.
No, I never get over like
Kamikaze
4 feet off the air. I just kind of like, I never get like 4 feet off the ground.
This happens a lot, Chris.
It happens a lot.
At night, yeah.
Yeah, it's my whole life. It's been a reoccurring dream like my whole life.
Did you want
to
be a pilot?
And when I was a kid, I used to dream that my teeth were getting loose. That used to freak me out.
Oh, geez.
I used to dream that I could, like, I would grab a hold of a tooth and wiggle it, and the tooth would fall out, and then I'd wake up, like, all freaked out and anxious, like you were saying with the bear. You know, you wake up, and your heart's racing. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then you check your teeth. You're like, oh, it's not real. It's not real.
Chris is getting deep.
Yeah.
You go back to sleep.
This explains all the alcohol.
Wow.
In here.
Yeah. So you get the idea. Have you had any recurring dreams or bad dreams, good dreams?
I had them all. Mm-hmm. I have those where it's like, you know, just like going to different pictures. And then I have like one dream that's the same dream the whole throughout. So I've had them all. It depends on what stage I am in my life or what's going on.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
So that has really a lot to do with me, because I used to have dreams where people who have died came and talked to me and say and give me a life lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I wake up, I said, well, wow, that's what I needed. I need to hear that.
Yeah.
And
so So if you weren't dreaming, okay, so if you're not reaching REM sleep and you're not getting those dreams, you're just not working out, or you're not inviting whatever messages your mm-hmm. subconscious needs to teach you, because the truth is that much of our brain activity is going on in our subconscious anyways. That's
right.
Pretty much what rules. As a matter of fact, we kind of operate with our subconscious. It's doing things we're not even thinking. You know how that is? You're doing something and you're like, oh my God, you just get up and you got that habit
right.
of doing this thing. It's your subconscious working. So, but your brain needs that rest. It really does. So people that come to me and they're going, I get by on like 3-4 hours of sleep every night. I've been doing that for years. I'm like,
that's horrible.
But some people
quit bragging.
Yeah.
That's
nothing to brag about. So,
yeah,
so
I like
there's
my
the point.
8 hours. I like my 8 hours.
Yeah. But
okay, if I can get 9, that'd be great.
Jen, there are people who live like that.
Right. They're
four
aliens.
Four or five max.
They're aliens.
But there's lots of people like that.
They are. I work with some like that. And the truth is that years later, they are actually getting some serious help, because oftentimes in those circumstances, not all, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm not making any diagnosis, but anxiety and an overstimulation of a hormone called cortisol is oftentimes the culprit, mm-hmm. because sometimes these people are like on high alert, and they've been on high alert for so long, their mm-hmm. body just cannot settle down, and that's where I was. I was getting about 3 hours of sleep a night, and I'd wake up and I'd be tired, but then I get through the day, and then
it,
I try to lay
through.
Down.
Yeah.
You push
yeah.
through, but you know that goes on for, well, basically it is life threatening. I will say that at
is
some
it?
Point it's life threatening. Well, you know the.
Cortisol is some dangerous stuff. If it's an overflow of it.
If it's an overflow, because
it also has something to do with your weight too.
It can
cause you not to lose weight or maintain weight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what you know. They attribute weight loss to sleeping, good sleeping too, because you do need the muscle repair. You need your time. Those things, and your body need sleep for so many things, and they attribute it to weight loss.
You guys,
and stuff
how many
like
times
that.
Have you heard about accidents of what was it? Even the Valdez, didn't the
Exxon?
The Exxon Valdez, didn't he fall asleep?
Probably.
Or something.
Did he?
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest accidents. I think that was a result of falling asleep on the job because of lack of sleep. There have been loads and loads of stories.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of that.
Truck drivers and train crashes.
Exactly,
and all
exactly.
Kinds of stuff,
and, right? You know, the people that concern me, first of all, I have a couple communities really concern me. One are teens. I really feel like I'm meeting way too many teens that are medicated on some kind of some kind of medication, right, to deal, and are not getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so teens, man, you're going through so many hormone changes already. I really feel for teens, but I think electronics today is really the culprit.
It's damaging, huh?
It has just been spreading.
What Jameer called the blue glow.
The blue glow.
Yeah.
This best. They always say it's best to put your electronic devices in another room. While you're sleeping.
And just buy a regular alarm clock.
Yeah.
That's the word.
The one with the hammer that goes back and forth.
But you know what I actually do? I put the alarm clock in. You know, I set my alarm clock, and that makes me get up because my alarm clock
I'm
is
guilty.
Irritating.
I use my phone. I'm guilty.
Yeah, I use my phone, but I put my phone in another room.
No, but I mean, I use my phone as my alarm clock.
Like yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I use mine as my alarm clock, but I put the phone in another room.
Huh.
But I can still hear it because I have an irritating alarm clock.
Oh, that's good.
Well, they're all irritating.
Because, I mean, not only are you dealing with, we could go into.
Like waking up irritated.
No, I don't like. It's like, it's so annoying.
I set mine on music so that I can wake up and I'll wake up dancing.
That won't wake me up.
No, that won't
make
me up.
I'll sleep right through it.
Really?
I'll sleep right through it.
I put on a good jam. I'll wake up. I'll just be like,
that's a better way to wake up. The truth is that I heard they have alarm clocks that are called like natural sunshine or something like that really mimic sunshine. Because, you know,
Philips blue light.
That must be it. We're primal creatures, man. Mm-hmm. We operate on a circadian rhythm, whether or not we want to admit it or not, and we work with the rhythm, you know.
Right.
In the winter we need more sleep, in the summer we need less sleep, we need to have
vitamin
sun
D supplements in the winter time.
Excellent. So that there you go, because I don't know how much you guys want to talk about sleep. We could
it's
talk about that
related,
for a long time,
huh?
It's all related.
I'm very fascinated
before you get off of it we get off of sleep, I need
no
to
way.
Know what it is. When it's only happened twice in my life, but it's when you get in like a lucid state where you lay there and you're like sleep paralysis. You can't move anything, and it feels like you're awake, but you're kind of asleep.
I've been through that a lot.
And you get stuck in like this little phase, and it'll last all night long. That's only happened to me twice in my life, and it freaked me out. I don't know what that is or how you get into it. Yeah, I guess you get locked in some state before you fall asleep.
Well, in stage one, when you're asleep in stage one sleep, you're still aware of what's going on around you.
Yeah, let's go through the stages.
You don't really
okay.
feel. Yeah, stage one. So I got this little chart here that I can use as a cheat sheet in my bottle of wine, which, of course, I don't use anymore to go to sleep.
Sleep therapy.
So stage one is the first stage that you go through, and you're still kind of easily awakened during this stage. And I know that I went in for some sleep studies one time, and so they hook you up with all these, with all that equipment, and then they darken the room and they tell you to, you know, go to sleep, and then they're going to monitor you.
How am I supposed to do this with all this equipment hooked up to me,
right? I can't sleep. Well, the truth is that they told me I slept, and I said, there's no way I slept. I was awake the whole time because I was only in stage one sleep. Mm. So in stage one sleep, you're still sleeping. But you feel awake. You're still aware of what that is. Weird.
Half of your brain shut down, but the other half is still.
Many a time.
Yeah, you and might be in that a long time.
And it affected my driving because I'm into that stage.
Oh,
I used to
go.
Be in that stage when I was driving back in the day. I had a long commute, and because I went to bed late, I had like 4 hours of sleep. I was averaging 4 to 5 hours of sleep. I'll be like still half asleep, but I'm driving and. I'm like, I don't even remember how I got there.
Oh, I know. That's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. That's scary. Wow.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, I knew I was still asleep in a sense, but I was, it's like sleepwalking.
Yeah.
You know,
like
it's sleepwalking.
Sleep
it's
driving.
Like sleep, yeah.
Sleep driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's way too many.
Or if I'm like really,
if
you're like
lots
really exhausted at work. And it'd be like, I'm going out to the truck and I'm going to take a 15-minute nap. And you just go out there and you sit there with your eyes closed, but you know you're awake. But you still feel rested.
You do.
You still. It's good
power
for you. It's
naps,
okay. It's
them.
A little power nap. Yeah. Okay. So
how often you do that, Chris?
That depends on how much I slept the night before.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if I need to catch up, then I'll go catch up real quick.
Yeah.
With a power.
I've been
nap.
Through that.
But yeah. But
yeah, naps are good as long as you don't do them too late. Usually, like after 2 o'clock, don't take a nap. Now you want to go ahead and just get, you know, wait until it's time for bed, go to bed right. early. But rule of thumb, try not to take.
Sometimes it turns into sleep. Yeah, you lay down to take a nap at 6 o'clock, and then you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're like, well, that was just sleep.
Yeah.
Well, that's all your Call of Duty time, Chris.
That just screwed up your whole circadian rhythm. So then you get on to stage two. That's going to last a little bit longer. So now your body temperature starts to drop. Okay. You start losing your sense of place, so you're not as alert as you were. Your brain starts slowing down, so you got like slower brain waves. Your eye movement stops. Your blood pressure starts dropping. So think about this. That's another good point. Your body's going through so many restoration processes in sleep that it's got to have. So if you're the type that's under a lot of stress during the day, if you're not going through these stages, you're not letting your body's your blood pressure and your hormones start normalizing to restore and replenish before you start the next day. You keep doing that over and over again, you're going to be depleted.
Basically, you're resetting your batteries.
Yeah. So tissue grows and tissue repairs in stage two. Getting into stage three, this is when hormones are starting to get released. Your brain starts slowing down even more. You start getting into more active dreaming, and then in REM, which is stage four sleep, that's when you see people's eyes. You always want to know, right?
Do they see? Back and forth, right?
I mean, I could see that in my dog too. When my dog was getting, and then he'd be pretending he was swimming or something.
Or
you know,
fidget.
You see him like jerking and stuff. Like, he's running through a field.
Your
right
eyes,
now.
Your eyes are doing that number. So when you see somebody doing that, then you know they're in REM sleep. And you wake up from that feeling really, I mean, sometimes REM is the last stage before I wake up, because then you go back to stage one. So sometimes if you tend to wake up, you know, briefly, you've gone through all those stages, you should cycle through this 4 to 5 times a night. That is a good night's sleep. So that's just what I'll leave you with.
So it's
with.
Not just one cycle going, per night.
No. You go through this entire stage 4 to 5 times a night. That is the ideal. So that's the total restorative cycle.
Given this info, and you could be in the middle of stage three, right? Deep sleep, right? And your alarm goes off. That's the enemy of the human being, isn't it?
Yeah, serious. Before you get. And so, really, ideally, you want to try to train your body to wake up without an alarm. And try this once, because this works for me.
It worked
for me
clock.
Just this past week when I went to bed. Manifesting my wake-up time. I said, well, I got to get up by this amount of time because I got a meeting. Somewhere. And I did set the alarm, but I set it for p.m. instead of a.m. Oh. Did you ever do that?
Oh, I've done that. I did it
all the time.
And I wake up on time.
That's the thing. You still wake up because
Or you wake up like 2 minutes before the alarm goes off.
It works. But the ideal thing is that you wake up naturally, because that's going to help your body gradually wake up. Okay, a couple more things, and I'll just kind of close the loop on this.
This is interesting.
Okay, I want to go back to this vitamin D. So the sun, and you know, you hear about melatonin all the time, right?
Sure.
So many people go, oh, I just go down this drugstore and I get melatonin supplements, and that's what I use to go to sleep. I'm like, don't use synthetic melatonin.
No bueno.
No.
Gummies.
It's not good. Your body naturally produces melatonin. You want to help your body make more melatonin. This time of year, it's a little hard because we don't get a lot of sun. But one of the best ways is to get out in the sun, because not only will you create more melatonin, but you're going to help increase the vitamin D. Now, a lot of people are vitamin D deficient. So one of the best recommendations I'll say to people is, you get your blood tested next, ask the doc to include a test for vitamin D. Because I want to fast forward to where I'm at right now.
Sure.
I'm going through my cancer journey.
Ooh.
Okay, one of the number one supplement that is recommended if you're going through cancer and you want to kind of support your body naturally is vitamin D. It's so important. We are deficient. Most people with cancer are deficient in vitamin D. You want to have a vitamin D supplement that has some oil with it. You don't want to take capsule, but that is much better than going down the street and getting melatonin, because that maybe is a short-term fix, but it's not helping your body do what it's supposed to be doing. We have these amazing bodies, and that's what I'm loving about what I do, is that I never knew my body did all this stuff. I'm like, cool. You know, thumbs up to you. I want to help you. Why am I gonna, because you know, when push comes to shove and you just, you're sleep deprived, deprived for a long, long time, I'll tell you, you're setting a scenario for serious metabolic disease, like heart disease, diabetes, sure. You know, immune challenges, as well as cancer.
I tell you what, I used to take melatonin, and I had to take a whole lot of them just to get sleep. So I had to take like 5 of them a night. So, and then, wow. But after, I say about 2 weeks, I stopped and I was able to go to sleep on my own. But when I was suffering with insomnia issues.
Yeah, it might be a short-term fix for some people. But that's why, you know, I go to my oils here.
Well, how does vitamin D come from sunshine? Like, is it the UV? It's your skin filtering the UV?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, which is why all this hype about sunscreen is like.
So can you get vitamin D from a tanning bed? If you were to go to a tanning bed, say, twice a week in the wintertime.
Well, you're hitting on a rather sensitive topic because I actually had read just recently that if you had to get some vitamin D, that you might consider a certain kind of tanning bed. But in general, you're kind of wanting to steer away from that because it does disrupt your normal cell structure. And, you know, things like cancer are all about abnormal cell activity. And, you know, melanoma, which is a cancer of the sun, has been shown to come from regular use of tanning beds. So that's why you always see that warning out there. But I think we should look into that further because it used to be in the wintertime that's where I would go because it would light up my brain because my brain needed that.
Yeah.
Or else
yeah.
I start flatlining.
It feels like you're out in the sun, right?
It does. It's so
felt
warm.
Felt like you had a nice day on the beach or something.
Right.
Right? For like an hour.
I don't know anything about a tanning bed.
Shay's here. I forgot.
Well, I got.
I don't have to worry about that.
Well, I'm bringing it up because I got one in my basement.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I got a tanning bed and a sauna and a whole gym and everything.
There's a whole new world down there.
It's a whole new world.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like, I don't get in the tanning bed like any during the summer, but every once in a while in the wintertime, I don't know, maybe once or twice a week, I'll go down there and just hop in the tanning bed just so I can. Feel some sunshine.
I fake personally sunshine. Have used tanning beds on and off for a lot of years, primarily in the winter when we are more sun deprived. And because it's amazing how much we rely on the sun. Without the sun,
it gets rid of your depression too.
Yes,
your winter depression.
Great.
Your winter blues.
When you're just laying on the couch and you're like, oh God, I hate the cold. You can just go down and hop in the tanning bed for a minute, and then you're like,
well, what would I
right,
do?
I feel pretty good.
What's Shay supposed to do?
I can't do that.
Can you imagine what happened to Shay if she went to the tanning bed? That would not
be deep fried.
Burnt toast.
Yeah, be different. I don't get winter blues really. I just go get out in the snow. I don't care. I'll drive as long as I can drive. I'm out. Or I'll walk in it.
Rock on, Shay.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a chemistry. Everybody's brain chemistry is different, and there's definitely truth to how it affects our brain chemistry when we don't have a lot of sun. Especially in the winter. So for a number of years, of course, I was going to my oils. I'd pull up frankincense. Last time I was here, I don't know if I told you about that.
Yeah.
And I get that on the roof of my mouth. Oh, yeah.
Frank incense.
Frank incense. Remember that? Yeah. I take a drop of frankincense, put it on the roof of my mouth, and leave it there about 30 seconds, and I feel my brain literally start warming up.
Okay.
So there definitely are some remedies we can go to. But, yeah, keeping yourself happy. And finding your, and I'll kind of like come back to gratitude a lot on all of these healing journeys is that when you can cultivate an attitude of gratitude, okay, it's going to help you sleep better. And that's one of my sleep tips that I go, okay, I got like a sleep tip that nobody else has said before. This is my unique sleep tip. Be thankful. You know, how simple is that? Because think about how we go to bed and we got all these problems we're trying to work out and we're revisiting what happened during the day and going, oh man, I wish I would have done that, because that's when you're finally sitting still and going, replaying what happened during the day. Oh man, I wish I could have said
that. Or if you're anxious about something the following day,
you know, people talk about meditation and that's all good, but for me, I made this policy that when I went to bed, I'd come up with 10 things I was grateful for that day. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for the sun. Thank you for that warm pillow, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this warm bed. Thank you for the safety of this home. Thank you. I got my bills paid. Thank you for my dog. Whatever. Just grasp at something. And then the next morning, I wake up and I got 10 more things. I won't get up until I repeat those 10 things.
Right.
And over time, that made a huge difference.
Therapy, huh?
It doesn't cost you anything. Just a new habit, right?
Yeah.
Just that one thing. So,
all right.
Being thankful is
How about moving in your sleep? This is a new phenomenon for me because I got a king size bed and I used to roll all over the place, right? But Dexter over here, the one barking, you know, I need to stop feeding him gunpowder, I guess, because he chewed a hole in my mattress about the size of a basketball.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness.
I was sleeping on springs and foam for a couple weeks. And then I finally went shopping for a new mattress, and the new mattress technology is just through the roof. So I ended up getting this one that you get in the mail, and you unroll it, and it comes out, and then you have to wait on it to expand and all that stuff. But now, this is the first time I've ever slept on memory foam, I suppose. I sink into it. And I will wake up in the morning in the same exact position I fell asleep in because it actually takes effort to like move. You have to lift yourself up out of the bed to roll over and stuff like that. So it's like you have to like do a physical action to like wobble around. But this is the first time I've ever woken up in the same exact position I slept in all night long.
And how do you sleep when you sleep on memory foam?
Usually curl up in the fetal position, kind of like this. With my I lay on my side. But, I always got that dead arm, so you don't know what to do with the one dead arm you're laying on. So I just
And then it falls asleep, and you wake up during the night, and you're like, what is that?
So I kind of throw it up here like I'm praying or something, and then I got my one leg all stretched out. I always have to have one leg out of the covers.
I was just the only one.
It works like a thermal thing.
Right.
You know, that's where my body heat's going. It's going out my leg. So I have to have a fan blowing on my bare leg.
The question is, are you sleeping well on the memory foam?
It feels like I'm sleeping pretty well, but it feels very odd to wake up in the same exact position I fell asleep in.
You used to be in a mover.
You made a snow angel in his sleep.
Right?
you just got a better mattress, Chris. It's nothing attributed with sleep.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that you don't move?
I know there's plenty of other aspects to sleep therapy to cover, and we can do
there
it
is. Yeah.
Another time because I mean I got a million questions
because
sleep is important, right. I mean, I want to talk to you about restlessness, what all that means. I mean, some
I know
people
there
are more
is
restless
there is
than
we're
others,
just
right?
we're so just starting it and I would encourage people to
scratching the surface
start doing and I wanted to kind of sum it up by just giving you some cheap tips,
things
that aren't going to cost you, because you brought up a good point. I have heard from so many people that they have spent thousands of dollars on the best new mattress.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easily $2,500.
I'm thinking about the sleep
control
number.
I can't believe how many mattress companies are out there.
There's a lot of them. There's a purple mattress now.
I went with Puffy.
Yeah, you went with Puffy.
Yeah.
I was looking at purple. Purple was my second choice.
I want to get the sleep number bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not bad. But my thought is, if you're having trouble sleeping, and let me give you some tips. Try these first before you go out spending a lot of money on a mattress, because a mattress is good, okay? But there's so many reasons why you might not be able to sleep well. It could be, like I said, I go to like the head, the heart, the gut, and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so take a look at these things. Let me give you some tips here so maybe your folks that are listening can maybe practice something, right?
Something.
So it's inexpensive. Okay, right.
Masturbate before bed.
No, we're not going to say that. No.
That's nature's Ambien.
That's actually good for migraines if you're getting a migraine, but we won't go there. Okay, first thing
better
is just
than alcohol.
Number one,
right?
I want to say the simplest thing is to start with your room, take a look. You know, we talked about the temperature, make sure it's in between, 65, 72 degrees.
Right.
Make sure it's dark. Okay, take off the lights. You got any blinking lights? You got a
dark room
shades? Right.
Yeah.
Do
that. Those are good. If you have a big window in your bedroom.
Right. If you live in a noisy area, if you live on a main street like I do, go for earplugs.
Yeah,
they might be uncomfortable for you, but
drown it out. Yeah,
it'll drown it out. I slept so much better once I just started using earplugs.
Oh,
okay,
good.
How expensive is that? You try those first.
Sure.
You can go ahead and get a white noise machine if that helps.
That's
it's
me.
Not that much.
I'm one of those guys.
Got
I
it.
Need that.
Okay. Okay. You want to limit your caffeine during the day. Don't have any coffee after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you absolutely have to have caffeine, machine. Oops. Shut it off. Let it work. I always tell people about this peppermint oil, and I think by now everybody knows about peppermint. This is one of the best natural energy. It's so inexpensive. This helped keep you going, wake up your brain. Definitely works. So try something natural.
You're popping Tic Tacs over
here. Right. There you go. Popping Tic Tacs. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I need peppermint.
I'm a mint.
All right. Stay hydrated. I brought my water bottle here. One of the main reasons you might not be able to sleep is that you haven't been drinking enough water. That's a simple fix. You know, we hear, you know, 8 ounce glasses a day. At least be drinking, you know, 3 quarts of water or some
kind
of, 3 quarts. That's not quite a whole gallon. Gallon's a lot, but maybe through tea. Alcohol doesn't count.
Okay.
Teas.
Tea's good for you?
Tea. Yeah, I do decaf tea.
Decaf tea.
Yeah. Okay. Do decaf tea. Water, non-sugar juices,
right.
Something like that. But just get your fluids in, especially now in wintertime.
You know, I was reading the other day that coffee is surprisingly hydrating, they say. That it stays in your system a little bit
but
more.
But according to Jen,
longer.
But you know, because the
effect of caffeine stays
like
in your body for 10 hours.
I break that rule
every
day.
That, you know, you can drink like a bottle of water.
I drink coffee
and
tonight.
You drink a cup of coffee, and the cup of coffee will actually stay in your system and hydrate you more
than
just the water.
You have problems with sleeping, don't you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, but you know, watch this. Go off all of that for a week and then try incorporating it again. Your body is overcompensated somehow. So we're pointing a finger over this direction. But I meet a lot of people, they drink coffee all day, and they're like, I don't have any problem sleeping. But go off of that for a while.
I can tell you what it does.
Here we go.
It gives you feel like you it's an addiction. And you start having the shakes and sweats and start getting headaches.
When you get off of it?
I had a serious caffeine withdrawal issue. But I haven't been with caffeine in years. So, and I don't want to go back.
With it.
You were one of those ones just sitting at the coffee table.
Long relationship
just shaking.
Sitting at the kitchen table like 3 Sanka. O'clock in the morning with a pack of cigarettes, shaking in your hand and a cup of coffee in the other.
Know,
I can't get to sleep. I don't understand why.
No, and it used to be where it was to the point. No, I used to make coffee ice cubes.
Really?
Yeah,
that sounds
genius.
That's awesome.
That sounds genius.
I used to go to sleep. I mean, coffee did the reverse effect after, you know, ingesting it so long. I would go to sleep. You know, it's just like it did not keep me up. I need more. But if you go off of it, you would know the difference. You'll be like on edge, and you get the migraines and get.
Okay, so everybody listening here, so that'll be your. I dare you. If you're a regular coffee drinker,
no.
Right?
Go off of it for a week and then try bringing it back in again and see what happens.
Yeah, we would love to know your results.
Yes, call in your results.
We want to see it on video.
On video, that's
at
good.
The Hub Show on Facebook. The Hub Show.
Okay, so a couple more things. Everybody talks about a warm bath. Of course, a warm bath with some Epsom salt, maybe throw in some essential oil,
chamomile.
And sometimes you hear about magnesium. People are magnesium deficient, so that's why Epsom salts have a lot of magnesium. Your body absorbs that. Can help with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cheap. Stay consistent about your go-to-bed times and your wake-up times. Consistency is key, and that's going to help really improve your sleep.
If you're going to try
to go to bed about the same time and wake up the same time all the time. Good. Yeah, every once in a while, of course, things come up, but... another thing, remember, exercise early. Try not to exercise about 4 hours before bed. At least heavily. Go for a walk after dinner. That's not bad. But if you know, going to the gym and working out with weights and really puffing it.
Really?
Yeah, that's not. Damn,
doing it all wrong.
Okay. Give your brain a rest. Shut down the electronics. That is number one today because, people are going to bed, checking Facebook, scrolling one more time before you put the phone down. And then you put the phone down and try to sleep. About 2 hours before you go to bed is the rule of thumb for your brain to, because there are studies out there you could see this is what your brain is on electronics, you know, this is what your brain is without it, and it lights up.
Interesting study.
I've laid in bed and played like Candy Crush for a half hour before you go to bed, and when you close your eyes, you still see the candies.
I play Tetris in my sleep.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, and one thing that gets overlooked is really your diet. If you're not eating good nourishing foods during the day, then your body has a little bit more difficulty trying to wind down because it doesn't balance your hormones. It can affect your brain, your blood sugar, which can affect your sleep. So if you are in need of a snack before you go to bed, you can do like a little bit of protein with a
turkey.
Light- Turkey, good. Tryptophan, okay? Mm-hmm. Bananas have a lot of tryptophan in. Mm-hmm. Oatmeal is another good one that has, actually, it helps with melatonin, too. So, but you can have a little bowlish cereal, maybe, that doesn't have a lot of sugar in it. And
at night?
A little bit of milk. Mm-hmm. Short
so
while
basically
before
reverse
bed.
So reverse your diet.
Yeah, there you go.
Reverse your eating schedule.
Yeah, yeah. And then my last one, there's more, too, because you got to lay off the alcohol, but practice gratitude. Go to bed. When you're laying down in bed, think about 10 things that you're grateful for the day, and that's going to help your brain kind of be reprogrammed and take your troubles.
You struggle to think of the ninth one.
Yeah.
What am I grateful for?
I'm grateful for Santa Claus. Right. I'm grateful somebody else is happy. There's always something. But, yeah, that's in a nutshell. I hope that kind of covered some basics. That was fun.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
That's awesome. And I know
are there any oils that you would help with sleep?
Yeah, I do.
I know lavender. They say lavender is a good one.
Lavender is a good one. And I put together an ebook that if anybody checks with me on jensilbert.com. So I'm growing my new brand as a holistic coach because I'm branching into other things as well. And I would like to end on that note because I got a new theme I want to run by you guys.
Okay.
I think you're going to like it. I think it's going to be an eye catcher. I want to help people be healthy. I always did. But now in my new stage of life, I feel like life is short. And there's so much I thought I knew that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was healthy, and here I am. I'm not really all that healthy.
And we think we're so smart, right?
And we think we're so smart, yeah. But suddenly you take a good long look at not just I thought my body was healthy, but I think my heart wasn't all that healthy.
Right.
And I don't mean like my cardio health. I mean like the thoughts that I had and my level of, have I forgiven everybody on my list? You know, this is a good time of year to think of that because unforgiveness can live in your heart and really poison it. And you could think you're all healthy, but before you know it, you discovered you're still harboring some resentment and unforgiveness.
Right.
And a lot of people say that can contribute to, you know, disease.
Right.
But as far as the oils go, always been hip on oils. I do have an ebook. It's free. Somebody wants to look, but you're going to go for flowers. You're going to go for trees.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have like your lavender be number one, but things like cedarwood and frankincense and maybe fir.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, those are nice smells. But one really cool one. Did I bring that? Yeah. This was what worked for me.
A lot of people are smelling fir this time of the year.
Right. And
got the tree in the house.
Got the tree in the house. Very good. And that's a good one.
Unless it's fake.
So this was my favorite because this is what helped me get out of my insomniac phase. Because I realized when you're anxious, how are you breathing?
Yeah.
You know, you're doing that a little bit more during the day. And then come nighttime, your lungs haven't really had a chance to expand, and that was affecting my sleep. So I put something in here which has eucalyptus and peppermint and some other stuff that opens up your lungs. I slept like a baby. So these would probably be my oils of choice. I stick them in that diffuser over there, put it by my bed, let it run a couple hours. It does make a huge difference.
Yeah, that's what, if I'm having troubles going to sleep, like my mind's still racing from the workday or something like that, a lot of times I'll just, like, when I go to bed and close my eyes, just breathe in through my nose and out through my mouth, like long, deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, you're kind of out.
It's funny you mentioned that. Well, we end it with a little breathing exercise, shall we? And then you guys can try this, and then you at home can try this, so you're not gonna.
Okay.
You're not going to get addicted. No, you might get addicted in a good way.
I'm addicted to breathing.
Won't pass up.
If they're at home, if you're in your car or wherever.
Okay. Yeah. Not in your car. So this is before. So
hold your breath.
So there's a book that came out. I don't know if it's called Sleep Magic or something, but there's a doctor that came up with this breathing technique, and he swears that this helps you to overcome your sleep issues. So maybe it all comes down to this. So what you want to do first is you want to just completely exhale, making a noise of whoosh. So just do a big exhale. Whoosh. Okay, so you're laying in bed.
Good job, Chris.
Sounds like a tornado.
I know.
Okay.
I'm the big
Okay,
guy
so
wolf.
Then you want to close your mouth and you want to inhale quietly for a count of four. So breathing, count of four, quietly.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, Jeez, then you want to hold it. Hold it for a count of seven. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And you want to whoosh to a count of eight. Oh, we all did that just at the same time.
Huffing and puffing do with Jen Silbert.
So you do that about three or four times, and he says that that is a really good remedy. You should be knocked out by the time you're done. So
I'm going to try that
exercise.
That's your little mantra.
That's your little mantra.
I'm going to try
tonight. Whoosh your way into sleep.
My wife's going to be like, what the hell are you doing?
It was like two or three episodes ago. Me and Jay were looking up how to count sheep.
Yeah, where
doesn't work.
Where
doesn't
it came from, you know.
Where it came from.
I don't know where they came from.
Apparently the farmers.
Shepherds and stuff.
Apparently the farmers, they really knew every single one of their sheep personally, and they would be like, oh, the one with the brown spot and the one with the black spot.
And they would fall asleep by the time they were done counting all the
conk right out, right?
I would have.
I'm out. You can have my sheep.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Jen Silbert, sleep therapy, aromatherapy. Very impressed. This is awesome.
Yes,
Great subject.
Aww, thanks
so
for having
much,
me.
There's so much more to tap into all this. We'll have you back on to dive into it some more.
Yeah, I was telling you, I want to run this name by you, see what you think. Because I'm branching out. I want to cover like the whole person, body, mind, soul, and
from
all
top
that.
To bottom.
So I'm going to be starting some workshops, and I'm going to run them. I tell you my name, okay?
Go for it.
Just because I said, you know, this really speaks to me. Raw and naked learning.
Yeah.
Raw and naked. I'm thinking about trademarking that name. I shouldn't have said that because now someone's going to run out.
Okay. Yeah.
So raw and naked, and then I just have learning series. So it might be raw and naked faith. It might be raw and naked body, raw and naked living.
I'm sure raw and naked
living because it's all about
her ass be popped up on Pornhub and whatnot.
Right. I think that's the problem. Yeah. That's what I'm going to be up against. Yeah, but it's about being real, taking off the mask, and just, you know, being authentic and addressing life in an authentic way, and stop pretending everything's okay. Stop pretending, you know, you got this or that problem and you're not good enough and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think the world needs stuff like that.
Yeah.
How about real and naked?
Yeah, getting real and naked.
Real and naked.
No.
The word raw with
exposed.
It. That's where
raw.
The whole
exposed.
You know, raw.
Yeah.
Exposed. The adult thing comes into it. You say raw.
Yeah.
But you say real and naked means you're getting real. You know what I mean?
Well, that's kind of what I'm trying to say with that.
I know you are.
Real. Raw and naked, kind of food came to my mind.
It is. It's going to be about
food. Raw nuts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He peels his bananas slowly. Go on, Chris.
Oh, I knew I shouldn't have shared that.
But I think that's a good name, a good theme for you because, you know, raw is what you want, the core.
Yeah.
That's the core.
Yeah.
So. Shay gets it.
Yeah.
You know, I was
here we go.
All right. So I was watching this Blue Planet last night. Blue Planet 2, right? So it dawned on me that what we eat and what we digest, all the good stuff goes back millions of years. Like to like anything from the sea, seaweed, kelp, fish, all that stuff goes through our systems and we digest it and we pull out all the nutrients and the protein super easy, right? And it comes out. The stuff that came after we started walking on land and all that stuff, like flour and all the stuff that we started growing, corn and all that stuff our bodies haven't adapted to digest that stuff like properly yet. Right? Does that make any sense?
I get what you're saying, but like I would say that it's when it's how we grow those things is why we can't digest those things. Because if you look at it, back in the day, they didn't have all these dealing with cancer and all these other illnesses, you know. But as we got more industrialized and things like that, it's the way we process the food and how we grow the food. Like these super chickens by Purdue.
Yeah.
I like, you know,
we're
I like chicken.
With Mother Nature,
but you're exactly. Yeah, you're infracting on those things that we did naturally. It's not the raw. Yep. You know, the raw and authentic.
If we start growing things
naturally and not forcing it to grow, so it'd be a super growth and we don't do a lot of things to our soil, you know.
But really,
that's why I want to move to a tropical area. That's
but really,
not tapped.
I guess if you want to lose weight, you just have to eat the same thing that the caveman's ate, right? You just imagine that you're eating like a caveman.
Okay, Shrek.
And then you lose weight, right? You're getting a lot of protein. You're eating like
your veggies,
a lot of meats,
and drink a lot of water.
And no bread,
70%
no carbs.
Of your body requires water.
Yep.
That's right. Chris knows what's up.
All right. Well, I already see the next thing we're going to be talking about.
Yeah,
huh?
The next show. We will have you back, Jenna. I love having you here.
Yes.
It's been a while, but wonderful. We'll make this more frequent. Okay.
Yeah. And at Christmas time.
Chris wants to leave his imprint on somebody.
All right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Real and naked.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jen Silver. Right. Thanks for stopping in. We'll have you back. And happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. Thank you, guys.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Hardy Pet is your local neighborhood pet store, serving premium and super premium pet food and supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Your pets will love their selections from Fromm, Nutrisource, and Nature's Logic, along with American National Premium, Origin, and Akana 2. At Hardy Pet, we offer training courses including 2 and 3 week holiday manners brush-ups. We even offer canine massage to help with joint pain, arthritis, injuries, anxiety, and stress. So come see us at Hardy Pet, 19918 Jefferson Boulevard, right here in Hagerstown. Hardy Pet, where we love your pets, too.
The People's Podcast.
Very annoying noise.
It is. Unless the whole world know that you're using a chip card.
Yeah, right.
It's like, can you shut the fuck
up? Yeah, the first time I ever heard that, I was like, why does it make a negative sound? It makes it sound like my transaction didn't go through.
I know.
Right?
I don't like that. They want you to have privacy.
It's like, hey, this guy's broke.
They want you to have privacy at the ATM, but it makes all this goddamn noise when you push the buttons and stuff. It's like, what is the point?
Right? Yeah.
You don't want people looking over your shoulder.
If somebody was skilled enough, they could know the tones of the difference between the if you push a button 2 and a button 8 or a button 5.
My guess is for the hearing impaired, but still, I don't need the guy, 5 people behind me knowing what's going on in my banking. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
bullshit.
Right.
It's fucked up. Anyway, hey, the Hub Show is a pleasure. Jen Silbert, she will be back. She's full of info.
Yeah.
Shay left with Jen.
She is.
She took off.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe go do some smellums.
They did not leave together. I'm going to put that together.
That's true. Yeah. They did leave almost the same time.
They left.
Though.
Yeah, yes. Almost the same time.
And left us hanging.
Yeah,
here we are, all by our lonesome. No, it's all good.
We don't want to throw out the innuendo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Right. Hey, shout out to you, Jen Silber. Thanks for coming on.
Yes. I want to dig a whole lot deeper.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more to cover on that subject.
A lot
sleep,
more.
You know.
Right.
I'm all about sleep.
I love it.
I love sleep.
Yeah, especially in the morning when I should be getting up.
Yeah. That's the best time. Isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
So comfortable.
When the alarm goes off and you gotta like, oh God, I gotta get out of bed, but. I could just lay here.
That's it.
For like another 15 minutes.
Right.
And then I think you go into REM sleep a whole lot faster that way.
I think
you do. You do.
When you have to get up.
You
God
just
damn
dip
it.
Right back
God
into
damn
deep
it.
Sleep,
that's life, right?
Right?
That's the irony of life. Yeah. That's Mother Nature messing with us, dude. Ha ha, right? You got to get up. You like that?
Yeah. Anyway, that's how it works.
The Hub Show. We are out there on Facebook at The Hub Show. Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yes.
We're out there.
Yep.
The Hub Show podcast is out there. Hit us
on
up.
On the Spotify,
the iHeartRadio, the SoundCloud, iTunes, of course, Google Play, the Android. Hey.
Actually, you know what?
Huh?
I think this is a redundant conversation.
Probably.
Because if they're listening to this right
now,
then they already know how to get a hold of us.
Well, I just cut that part up. But hey, shout out to everyone who is listening to us all around the world.
Right.
To our peeps in Ireland.
Yeah, spread the word.
Spread the word.
Tell your friends. Well,
apparently they're doing so. Good times.
Yeah.
We're starting to spread out in Canada.
We're okay people, man. We ain't out to hurt nobody.
Germany, France, Italy's picked us up. Finland.
Ooh.
We love you. Australia's still hanging in there.
Shibby, shibby.
We picked up a couple in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Right next to the Philippines. We got a couple of listeners out there.
I'm going to go to Italy one time. I go to the toe of the boot. I went right down in there where the pebble is.
You want
to
wiggle the big
toe? I want to be the pebble.
See,
in the boot.
Little piggy?
Yeah. I want to be the guy annoying the citizens and the pebble in the boot.
You won't make it back.
Right.
A U.S. citizen was killed in Italy today.
Yeah. Some guy with a comb in his back pocket. With his hair all greased up.
Oh, my God. Seriously, dude. Wow.
He offed me.
Yeah. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, for Shay and for Jennifer Silbert, saying thank you for listening. Tune in next time. We'll be back. Lots of good stuff coming up on the holidays here.
Oh, man, we got a good year
right
ahead of us.
Breakdown the 2018 music scene with DJ Shmoove.
The Chef.
We got The Chef coming up in 2019. I can't give that away yet, but I'm lining all that stuff up. We have a little
cooking
show.
I can't wait to eat some of that.
Yeah, and over the holidays, we will be seeing on Facebook Live and on our show audio as well, Gyrus of all.
Yes.
Master of none.
And me and this dude are going to geek out like crazy.
Yep, he'll make you geek out. It's all good. Good times. The Hub Show. Check us out. Share us. Love us. Thanks for listening. We're out of here.
Peace. You've been listening to The Hub Show, podcasting and broadcasting about news, views, business and events, health, pop culture, everything and nothing, with your hosts, Chris Canfield and Jay Heisch.
Move your body. Bogue, 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 bogue.